Well, I want to say a welcome to all of those that are listening to this podcast. This is Cross Culture Church, our Tuesday noon Bible study, and what a great group we have. We got some professors and some teachers and some prayer warriors and some who are just wanting to know more about our Christian walk. And of course, we are in the book of Acts. And so being in the book of Acts, which is our action book, we see, and as we continue to look at, the Spirit of God is moving in the midst of His people. He's empowering them. And as we have seen, change is hard. And so we have people that buck against change. And then you have some that go along with change. And then you see that there's a confusion about what should be left behind and what should be moved forward to, in the things of God. So here in 15, all the way up to where we're getting ready to take off in verse 23, we've had an issue with circumcision. And so what we have found out is that you got a group that's not wanting to really move forward because they are weighted down with the things of the past. And they're feeling like everybody, again, has to go along with becoming a Jew and following Jewish tradition instead of becoming Christians and following the words and revelation of Jesus Christ. Also, we have in this that there was still some prejudice in the church. There was still a group that had issue with the Gentiles receiving Christ. And so all of these things the Spirit of God is dealing with in chapter 15. So I want to open it up. Does anybody have anything that they want to deal with in this area of challenge, habit, situation, what we've already talked about? What do you see in this particular chapter as affecting you? Because as we look at this, we want to be able to apply it to our life as well. What have you seen in the church? What have you not just at this church, I'm just saying as a church as a whole, let's say the body of Christ in general, you know, anybody?
I know a lot of churches stick to traditions more than they do the Bible, and that seems to happen in a lot of churches.
All right. Our comment was that a lot of churches stick to tradition and are not really moving into the things of God because of what was done in the past. Grandmama, great grandmama, this is what we stand for, whether it be in conflict to the word or not. You know, this is what we, you know, hold up. You know, we've always done it this way. And when revelation knowledge come in, there's always this group that raise up their own standard, not like God's standard, but they raise up their traditional standard. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
There are a lot of churches who doesn't believe that tongues is for today, that it was for back in the Bible days, but not for today.
All right. We have that issue, should people speak in tongues today, and the difference in why they did it in the past and still trying to debate the fact that we don't need it today.
Right.
I have always been of the opinion the same gas that you put in your car when you first got it, you got to put the same gas in it when it run out. So you can't say, well, you know, I don't want to put any new gas in it. You got to put what it's going to take to run it. And if it took the Holy Spirit to run it and God instilled it into the church and gave it to us, then, you know, who are we to say we don't think we need that anymore, that was for then? If the scripture is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then why does it not hold fast today or tomorrow? You know, my granddaughter should want it. You know, she should want to have an effective prayer life. She should want to be able to move past her carnal thinking and even her little spiritual mind. And because how are we going to know the mind of Christ unless the Spirit reveal it to us? And so when we get to speaking in tongues, we get past our flesh, boy, and get right on into dealing into the things of God. So I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why do we not understand, and this is just a statement, that the enemy would fight that?
Mm-hmm.
you know, we should be aware that the enemy don't want us to speak in tongues. He don't want us to pray in the spirit. He don't want us to pray, period.
Right.
So we have to understand that the things that God set in place, he set them in place for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that would fuel us all the way to the end. If these people who were on one accord in one place got the Spirit of God, shouldn't that be an example for us to be on one accord in one place and then want to receive the power to move forward?
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Amen. Right.
So now here, I want to just back us up a little bit. Do you see how in 15, one of the main things when the apostles were talking to them about circumcision, do you know what he did? He backed them up and told them the history each time of how God had brought them to where they are right now. And we've seen that over and over again. Whenever there was a conflict, they had to be reminded where God brought them from. Because they get comfortable where they are and they forget where God brought them from. And so they it's kind of like if you move water up, you got to put a block to keep it up, because it's going to go back. It's going to back up and seek the level where it was before. So you have to say, well, hey, this is where you were, but this is where you are right now. You know, you don't want to back up now. We want to stay up here. So this is what we got going on. Any more comments?
I'd like to piggyback on what Dorothy said. Our point of reference as Christians, as a Christian community, we not only do not know the history, but we're repeating things from, like she said, our grandparents and our mothers, as opposed to reading the word for ourselves, knowing what the word says. And the reason I said that, on my job, I have co-workers proclaim to be Christians, but they don't know the word. So when they're telling somebody something and I hear it, I'm like, that's not necessarily true. You know, I have to kind of expound on it. And so they said, well, BJ, I wish I knew the Bible like you. I said, I don't know it all, but I'm reading and trying to learn it. I said, if you start, you'll find your way. I said, you can start in Proverbs and Psalms. You know, if you really want to just start on something easy to get wisdom and stuff. And that's what I find out with a lot of Christians. We not only do we not know how to teach our kids and generations that's coming after us the word, we don't know what to teach it. So we've got a lot of stuff in our head, but it's not really the word.
You know, that kind of relates back to the service that we had on Sunday. I don't know if you all were here or not,
mm-hmm.
but they had a panel discussion.
Right.
And we talked about the gap that's between the older members of the church,
right,
and the millennials.
Right.
And the generation X, Y, Z, whatever y'all call them. We baby boomers, so
right,
we were brought up a certain way, and so a lot of times we ignore the millennials because they're coming up in a different
era.
Yeah, a different era. You know, they got technology.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they do the rap and the hip hop and all of that. And in our mind, girl, they ain't saved. You know, they doing all this and all of that. And we're not bridging that gap, mm-hmm. because nobody is changing their mindset in order to relate to each other. And so I just really enjoyed what they did Sunday, because it's a stepping stone for all of us to come together, because guess what? Those millennials are the church of the future.
Right.
Generation X, mm-hmm. is the church of the future. Right. See, we're getting, you know, we're in our 60s, our 70s, our 80s. We're going to be gone and they're going to be left to do it. And so I like that we are beginning to make some efforts and make some steps to bring everybody together and not be so closed minded and not and come together and meet together and have a better understanding, because we were taught so much differently from the way these children are coming up are coming up in the church now.
Right. And that's one. We had a, Gerald and I had a pastor to speak, address that. But even though you, the, what did he, paradigm, or what did he say? He says, no, he said, anyway, even though the ways change, but the word is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
Man confuses the word. In my generation coming up, they didn't want us to use instruments, and they didn't want us to sing a certain way. But my thing is, on all of that, that's just traditions
mm-hmm.
and habits. But the word teaches you how to live. That doesn't change. How to live this life. How to go through trials and tribulations that they don't know that's coming, that's going to come. And how to stand when things get rough and tough and not go out and commit suicide and drugs and all of that. So however they want to bring it in their style, hip-hop, rap, whatever, I say bring it, but get the word. You want to make, I mean, do whatever, but get the word in your heart so you know how to deal with it. We won't be here. I always say you can't call the cemetery. We won't be here to help you, like she said. We'll be gone. But you'll have some staying power long after we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have some staying power to stand, some strength, and know where to go when you need it. You know how to pray and just travail in prayer, you know? So that's what we need to leave as opposed to what they're doing. I don't, you know, whatever they're doing, if they coming in church and love the Lord and love Christ, let them do it.
Yeah.
You know, let them do what they do. I don't put restrictions on it because each generation praise God the way they know how to do it, like mm-hmm. we did. Mm-hmm. And you have to let it come forth.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to put my little two cents in and we're going to jump forward. My prayer is that we as senior saints of God should pray that God would give us a revelation of how to talk to younger people. I got two sons and I have to pray on how to speak to them, because whatever I tell them, they start pulling out their phones and want to fact check everything I had to say.
Yeah,
so
right.
Number one, I have to pray for patience.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, you know, I have to pray for a right now word.
Amen.
that will show them,
right.
You know, and not try to talk to them as okay, you listen to what I got to
right.
say.
Yeah.
But have a word that says, have you thought about it this way? Or could you at least, let's look at it from this perspective. This was happening then, and this is where you are now. Can you see that there is a difference in how it was going on then? Because I have to say to my sons that this is the way I was brought up, and this is what was going on then. That's not going on in your time.
That's right.
So you don't know what I had to adapt to or what I had to draw from to get through from where I was then to where I am now. You're looking at it from where I am today, but not really understanding what I had to go through. And then I challenged them. I said, think about how you would react in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they said, well, I wouldn't take it. But that's not really the way to look at it. You mm-hmm. you didn't have a choice of whether you was going to take it. You're saying,
that's right.
I wouldn't take it.
That's
but
right.
back then, you didn't have a choice. You know, really. The choice was either you were going to die, starve to death.
Right.
You know, it wasn't going to be good. And
right.
so mm-hmm. I was, my thing to them is, if you had a chance to give up something, you don't want to give up anything now.
Right.
So back then, you would have had to yield.
Because
you don't want
to. They would have yielded.
Yeah, they would have yielded. Because they wouldn't.
Bad talk, but
yeah.
they would have yielded.
But
they would have did the same thing we did.
Yeah.
And so, but again, I always have to pray that I can give an example to where they can understand and challenge them to kind of at least look from where I came from and challenge them to look at it. Well, if you were in that particular situation, and this is what we have here, going back to how God brought them from each and every step, that's the
right.
way we got to look at it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That God is taking us to another level, but you still can't forget where you come from. You want to forget what you did, but you don't want to forget how God brought you out of it. You know
Amen.
What I'm talking about? Because your flesh will want to take you back there. So let me just jump right in here. I'm going to back up to verse 18, and I'm going to roll on pretty good here. It says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of this world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Now, these two verses right here, we're talking about how they were trying to get the Gentile converts to be circumcised and start falling back into the old habits and traditions of the Jewish people. All right, so he said, my sentence is that we trouble not them which are among the Gentiles that are turned to God. So he said, look, let's not put the yoke back on them, right? Right. They had a yoke on them. They had to wash their hands. They had to be circumcised. They had to do all this stuff. They had a yoke of works that was on them. So he said, no, let's not do that. Verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from what? The pollution of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. So they said there's some things you can keep and other stuff you can throw out. You know, stop sinning. Don't go, if you're hungry, just grab that food that they offered of the idols. You see what I'm saying? There's some things that you can flow from, and the rest of the things, trust God to give you the revelation. 21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So it says, hey, the traditions are being preached. You know how God set forth the commandments and said he was going to come and he's going to come. All that stuff still going forward, right?
Right.
22, then passed it the apostles and the elders, and with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. All right, so what you got now is look, that's good. We're not going to try to get them circumcised. We understand which way we need to go. Now we're going to send another group out here to go work with those that were of the Gentiles that's been converted so that we can teach them right. All right. 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and the elders and the brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are what?
Gentiles.
Of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. So see, they write letters and they coming on full blast here to try to get things straightened out. Is this not the growing pains we were talking about?
Right.
Now the church is growing, it's spreading out, people receiving stuff, but you know what? If I started around this room and said one word, by the time it get back, it'd have a few more words added on to it.
Right.
So now what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep it as close to the plumb line as possible. Right? Okay, 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went forth out of us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give what? No such commandment. See, so they telling them, look, there's going to be some people out here now. They're going to try to sway you to fall back. But we're admonishing you to do what? To move forward. And we not calling for that. 25. It seemed good unto us being assembled with what?
One accord.
With one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. All right? They said, look, we all united. You know, God is telling us to work with y'all, and we got the plumb line straight, and we bringing it to you. And we sending reinforcements, right?
Right.
All right. 26. Men that have what? Hazard their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We not just sending you folk that just gonna read something to you, read these letters, but we gonna send you somebody with a testimony, and we overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. All right. Boy, I got some Bible students in here. All right, verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no what? Right. Greater burden than these necessary things. 29. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from, ooh, that big word, fornication, from which... Y'all laughing. from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. Huh? If you stop that fornicating, you know, you can do well.
You'd be doing real good.
You just stop that fornicating. Verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. That, and what's that epistle? That's that letter they wrote. Right. And they saying, don't worry about being circumcised. Just stop fornicating. Don't be eating that bad food and leave that blood and stuff alone. All right, 31. Which, when they had heard, what happened? They were so happy. They rejoiced for the consolation. They said, now that's what I'm talking about, because I didn't want to get circumcised. I didn't want to have to go through all that, man. You know, boy, they want me to convert to Judaism. Now I got to wash my hands. I can't do this. I can't do that. He's like, wait a minute. I got to keep all these feasts and festivals. And no, wait a minute.
Rituals.
32. And when Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So, boy, they brought evidence to it, and some edification was brought forth. 33. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So one said, y'all go ahead. I'm going to stay here and work with them a little longer. And that was good. 35. Paul also with Barnabas continued to Antioch. What did they do?
Teaching and preaching
the word of God with many others also. So here the word of God is getting ready to be multiplied again. The crooked way to have been made straight. And the anointing of God is going forward. Right? Mm-hmm. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do. I got to stop there. That's why you can't stop reading the word of God. That's why when you pray, you got to continually pray, and you got to go over some things. You got to reaffirm your commitment to God. You know, I when I look back over my life and I think things over, they said I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. Sometimes it's good to just thank God for where He brought you from.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it's good to go back to that old landmark. Sometimes it's good to let that fire burn back again. You know, because I know where he brought me from, so I get excited. So y'all been saved a long time, so you know, y'all don't have to worry about all that. But, all right, 37. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Here comes another story, that John Mark boy. 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them with Pamphylia and was not with them to the work. 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they parted asunder one from another, so that Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. All right. So I see some of y'all looking. Let's go.
I have a question. We see the area and the territory where the first churches were came about. But now, if we look at those same areas, Christianity is not as prevalent there. You know, in Syria, it's Islamic. A lot of these areas.
Come on, Earl. I know Earl want to jump in on that.
You want me to jump in on that?
Well, I mean, I take over all the time. So since I got some help in there.
Well, I think one of the things we have to look at is in the rise of Islam, there was a lot of forced conversions that were taking place. Doesn't necessarily mean that Christians wanted to convert to Islam. So you find around the Mediterranean, that there are situations where Islam was forced on people who were Christians in that area. So I don't know if that helps your question as to why it's Islam, more Islam in some areas than Christianity.
So the Christians converted to Islam?
They were forced to.
They were forced to.
They're being forced right now.
They're forced right now. They've always been forced.
You know, either you convert or we could cut your head off.
We kill you.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's all part of jihad. Oh,
and that's why they're really fighting now. You know, they want everybody to be convert to.
Yeah.
So that's what the fight is about?
Well, some of it. Now you got different sects of it as well. You got different groups saying that this is our area. This is everybody need to start thinking one way. Mm-hmm. See, you got Shiites. It's a whole different thing. You got different sects of them, and they're all not on one accord. Everybody that's in Islam
is not together.
They're not together.
Even amongst the Islam.
Right, because you got this group that's reading it as that we ought to be fighting. Then you got the other group that said that doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. So you got different factions that want to take over, and they really want to take over the whole world. The whole view that they have is that everybody need to be Islamic.
Okay, so Islam and Muslims are two different groups?
No, they're different.
They're the same group?
They're the same group, but they're different sects in there. It's just like you can have an Orthodox Jew, and then what's the other ones?
You got Reformed.
You got Reformed, Orthodox.
So they don't believe in all the rituals that Jewish people do.
Right. Now some of them they're looking at the Quran and they're picking out pieces of it, and they're standing power.
I got you.
Right.
To go back to what Rose said, I was so shocked when I went to Jerusalem, the old city behind the walls. Mm-hmm. And you know, we never hear that Muslims and Christians and everybody are worshiping behind those walls together. You know, I thought Christians, when I went to the Holy Land, I was shocked that the horn went off at 12 noon and all the Muslims, you know, they bowed down to pray behind the walls. You know, I'm like, you know, I thought Christians were, you know, I just wasn't ready for that, to see all of that. And when I saw it, it was like, it changed my mind of what I'm reading about here and what I've been taught and what I was thinking than when I went over there, you know. Because I just wasn't, I was like, I didn't know Muslims were working here and behind the wall too. They say everybody is, you know. So that's what we don't see. Mm. We don't see that, and I was like, you know, because I'm like, they shouldn't be here, you know.
See, we're looking at where we are, and we think everybody else is like where we are, and that is not the case.
That is not the
case. We have embraced Christianity.
Right.
The people that came over here because they wanted to have freedom of religion. That's why we are the United States of America now. They came over here because they were getting oppressed. They weren't free. You got all these different people saying, no, you can't do this. Well, hey, I want to be able to free to worship like I want to. So that is why we're here. But when we look at other places, you know, we have to understand what's going on.
Right.
And what's going on is there's groups that are vying for power. There's groups that are looking to convert people, just like we are looking to convert people. Mm-hmm. And so as when you start doing history lessons, it'll come a little bit more apparent to you what's going on. But you know Christianity is still moving forward, but we got a lot of opposition, and there's a lot of people being killed for their faith.
That's right.
So you know, we got it good that we can come here. Yes. Think about communism. Right. Think about all of the people that were killed that were killed because of their faith.
Right.
And whether it was the Christian faith or the Jewish faith, it was the faith that believed in God. Whether they were doing the traditional things and not understanding who Jesus Christ was or not, you know, because they did have a faith and it wasn't and the man who was on the, who the dictator was on top, what happened? Then they got killed.
So what number, if we numbered the religions from 1 to 10, what's number one, Muslim and Islam religion?
In the world.
Or is Christianity like number 5 on the scale?
You got Buddhism.
What's the number one?
The number one?
Religion. In the world.
In the world.
I'm not sure right now. I would say Christianity, maybe. Islam.
I got to research. Islam is the fastest growing.
It's the fastest growing.
But I think Christianity is the number one.
Right. I'm going to Google that.
I'm not sure. I would have to.
What do we have? We got.
If you do research on that, let me know, okay?
What you got?
I heard from SAS.
Statistics
last week. Okay. One of those programs, like Christian World News, one of those.
Christian World News.
Said that we were number two.
Muslim number one?
Muslim is number one.
Well, they the fastest growing.
In the world.
Portion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
world.
Yes. They have other words.
Yes.
Based on who's doing the poll.
Okay.
Okay. And what location they're polling. But by all the polls, Islam is the fastest growing.
Mm-hmm.
Growing. But when you say growing, it doesn't mean that it is all growing. In Islam, it's the different fractions.
Right.
You know, you got Sunni, you got
Shia.
Mm-hmm. Then you got the tribes that practice Islam, but it's the fastest growing. Christianity is purportedly the most stabilized of all the religions. It's stable. Why? It shows you right here. Because of the word.
Right.
It's stabilized. In America, among the millennials and the others, The new age is the fastest growing.
It says here Christianity is the number one religion in the world. Islam is number two. Christianity has 2.1 billion members, which is 33%. Islam has 1.3 billion, which is 20%.
It depends on who's polled.
This is a decent
But I'm confused about saying they're the fastest growing and not be number one.
Because they got a lot of ground to catch up on.
We're saying they're the fastest growing, but we're saying they're not number one. So how can you not be number one and you're the fastest growing?
Because you got a lot of room to catch up on. Let me just say this: because I've done missionary work and been around the world, you got a whole continent like South America that's predominantly Christian. You said Catholic.
Yeah.
That's still Christian. So this is what I'm saying. You can go anywhere in South America, and there's going to be more Catholic churches than there's going to be mosques. You got a whole continent just that part. We ain't talking about it with the United States. We ain't talking about Canada. We're not talking about Italy. You know what I'm talking about? That's more Roman Catholic. So I'm just saying when you start looking at where it is, you got Africa, and you got that top part where you got where Islam and stuff is strong, but you only got that one part of the country. You see what I'm talking about? So when you say how can it not be the top if it's the fastest growing, they're just growing in areas. But you still got a whole concentrated, stable place of us, Christians, people that trust. So they up and coming. Like those numbers Earl said, you're talking about a billion, so many plus, so many billion. Then you got they only like a billion behind. But think of how many people are still doing missionary work. I know people right now that are going in places. In the islands and stuff where nobody's been able to preach Christ, there are people being won over right now. They're not being won over to
Islam to
Muslim. They're being won over
to
Christianity. So even though they may have an area where they fast growing, you still got converts being made in the Christian faith. That's why they're not gonna take it over. It's like, yeah, you can run fast, but I'm still running too. So even though you may be ahead, you know, you're not, you know, I'm still right behind you. And really, I'm in front, and you slowly trying to catch up with me is right. What's happening. But I've never stopped running. Mm-hmm. I'm still running. So I can hear you breathing.
Yeah.
But you still don't have me yet.
And I can see why they say fast is growing, because they're getting more young people in. Mm-hmm. If you look at Christianity, we're not bring this, and I'm not talking about the younger generation. I'm saying the millennials. XYZ, mm-hmm. They have a different
mindset
in terms of it didn't do you any good, what it's going to do for me, you mm-hmm. know. And so they're sitting down on it. So we've got to get that generation going, you know.
Plus, we have to understand.
Keep it going. We got to get them going.
Just because we're sitting here, we don't know who's being converted and who's not.
Right.
And like I'm saying, I know people that are in Panama right now. I know some people that are in Bogota right now. They're going out in areas ministering. People right. getting saved right now. Yeah. This thing mm-hmm. is spreading, even though we don't.
I want to piggyback on something Portia said, is the fact that the stats, depending on who's actually doing the surveys, but we have to understand in Christianity, there are a lot of places where Christians are underground.
That's true.
And they're not able, they wouldn't be able to be counted. Right. There could be millions of Christians. I mean, look at China and
right.
a lot of these other
That's right.
countries
Dictatorships.
Where Christians are underground and they can't be counted
right.
in that statistic.
Right. 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 And there is an underground movement. That's yeah. wherever there's oppression, that's, you know, God's moving forth to get his people.
There's the enemy, there is God.
Hey, when the enemy raise up a standard or come in like a flood, the Lord raise up a standard. So.
Yeah.
I think a lot of
That's
black
interesting.
Students saying they were Muslim, they faked it. Of their
convenience
or wherever they are.
Oh yeah.
But well, it don't mean it, it's just something
to say.
Well when you go to jail, you better figure out whose side you gonna get on.
It's like a girl at work said, we got the best gig in town and don't in the world and don't know it. We're free. We even though we complain a lot and, you know, just whine, we have more freedoms here than a lot of people have around the world. Piggyback on what Push and Earl say, these dictatorships, you know, there's certain religions they don't allow. You know, you gotta go undercover and stuff like that.
But we have to be like the watchman on the wall, because we have legislation that's coming down the pike that's really going against ministers who say certain things about certain ethnic groups, certain race, mm-hmm. certain
That's
styles,
right.
certain cultures.
That's right.
They want copies of ministers' messages that they're mm-hmm. preaching on mm-hmm. Sunday.
Yep.
So we have to just be vigilant that
right.
we don't get just think we got it all together
yes.
right.
and don't have to continue to pray and
fight
and intercede for right. the things of God.
And how well do we know that? Because we were asleep at the wheel, they took prayer out of school.
That's right.
So, you know, we can't right. be asleep at the wheel.
Took the Bibles off.
All right. Well, we want to thank everybody that came out, and what a beautiful time we've had around the world, around the Word of God. And so, again, if you have any questions, comments, call the office and let them know or look on the website, send in your comments. We love to hear what you would say. We want to pray now that as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us and protect us as we go to our next destination. And we also pray that the Spirit of God will hold fast that word that we've received, and let not the enemy come and pluck it out. And we call it all done by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.